Let us pray. God be in my head and in my heart and on my lips, that I may know you and love you and speak your truth. Amen. So it should come as no big surprise to many of you that I have several flaws, screaming faults, in fact. I'm headstrong more than any of you actually might realize, but some of that was on display last Sunday if you were here for the procession of the creche animals. I didn't get the instructions, and I pledged that I would follow whoever was really instructed and be humble in that way, but as soon as the creche animals were handed out, I just stepped right out in front of everyone and started walking to the wrong spot. And then the second wrong spot. And I had to turn around a couple of times. And that's not atypical for me, needing to be instructed to stop what I'm doing, turn around, and try again. Sometimes if I'm in a rush and I pull up to an intersection too fast, I'm maybe you do this too, I pull into the crosswalk just a little bit, and I always hear from the back seat, from my youngest son, "Dad, don't block the box." We need to be instructed from time to time to stop, to take stock, to turn around, to repent. And on days like that, I'm really glad I don't have John the Baptist telling me, "Did you hear his voice this morning? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent." It's not something we want to hear in this season when our hearts are trying to turn towards the sparkle and the dazzle and the happy and the gifts and the snow and the play and the Santa. But there he is again. It's Advent, and John shouts at us in his camel hair and his wildness, "Repent." And to those of us who come, perhaps like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, from places of power and privilege, he shouts even louder, "Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Don't just feel sorry. Don't just apologize," which is what we usually think of as repentance. "Do something about your wrongness. Be better. Do better. Bear fruit worthy of repentance." Every Advent we hear this message, a message of preparation for what is to come in the season of Christmas. We hear this message of preparation that we might rend our hearts, that we might turn around, that we might change our ways, that we might be better. But not just better. The prophets, and John included, have this way of calling us to account, to be more human. Because after all, isn't that what the Feast of the Incarnation is all about, that we're looking forward to? This notion that Jesus comes down to be with us, that God himself dwells among us, and in so doing, not only blesses and gladdens, but lifts our humanity to a higher place, calls us to a higher way, calls us to recognize the divine spark, that essentially human piece of us, to be more fully ourselves, to be more fully human. I find that incredibly hard to do these days, to be more fully human. It's not much. When you turn on the news, you hear about pain and strife and hatred and division from as far away as Syria and as close at hand as our own country. We just finished an election cycle that brought forth some of the worst in our humanity. Some of the things we'd like to say are not fully human. The kind of things that we would like to soon forget about ourselves. We can look to Standing Rock and the oppression and violence being manifested there against water protectors and protesters and clergy and First Nations people. And we can look to our own city, where a man stands trial, an officer stands trial, for the alleged shooting of an unarmed man, highlighting again the racism and racial inequality that divides our country. There is so much pain and division and hurt in the world. And it's all here this morning. And it all feels impossible And it all feels overwhelming when we are called to be fully human in the face of it. To live more softly, more compassionately, more humbly. To be able to extend grace where none is being offered on the other side. This morning, that is the call from the prophet when he says, repent and bear fruit worthy of repentance. Don't just feel bad. Don't just be angry and irate and outraged and upset. Do something. Make a difference. Change something. Be human. I find that hard because so much of what I see in the news drives me towards being more jaded and cynical and spiteful and combative. And so I find it hard to work on being more soft and vulnerable. I need practices that will get me there. You've been hearing me preach about practices and habits. What are the habits? What are the things that we can do that will chip away at those places that crust over and harden up and make us more defensive against the world? What can we do? What essential practices will make us not able to heal the pain of the world, but feel the pain of the world without becoming immune to it? That is the call of the prophet this morning. One of those small practices, small acts, came this week at Standing Rock. As you know, there have been days when it looked like the darkest of humanity was being manifested there, where water cannons and sub-zero weather and rubber bullets and mace and violence was being wreaked with no mercy on people asking for justice, speaking out on behalf of marginalized communities. And as that has taken place over the last few months, and most especially in the last few weeks, on the other side of that equation, the Morton County Sheriff's Department has put together a list of resources they need in order to be sustained in their holding down what they believe is their job. They've asked for items like hand warmers and snacks and water bottles and supplies of all kinds. And this week, in a situation that seemed like there was no grace possible, both sides firmly entrenched, a group of water protectors from the tribe went out and purchased the supplies necessary to complete that request and that list for the sheriff's department, who stood on the other side of a barricade wielding weapons and batons and hoses. And they brought that to the sheriff's department. They said as a peace offering, as a first step of re-injecting grace into the situation. Something small. Something human. Something vulnerable. This morning we are called to be fully human. And in so doing, we are called to take action in some of the biggest and most vexing problems of our world. To do justice, to bring peace. We are being called to be fully human, and it takes us a moment to sit and to reflect on what it would be for us to be fully human. I don't want that to just be a throwaway line. I want to take a moment for you to imagine what it is that God has called you to be in your fullest humanity, your fullest giftedness, your fullest ability and brokenness. Take a moment and think about what that is. What is the most fully human you? What do you need to do to reclaim that humanity, this action? What actions do you need to take to be that person that God has called you to be? More soft, more vulnerable, more humble. more compassionate. Our associate rector, Kate, is out at Standing Rock right now as one of the chaplains, the trauma chaplains, who have been invited to stand in the midst of that conflict as a neutral presence of witness and healing and ministry to both sides in an impossible situation. And because she's always looking out for us and she was going to preach this weekend, she sent me this lovely quote, and I'm going to give it to you. This is called Resources from the Associate Rector. She quotes Steve Garness Holmes, a theologian she's actually quite fond of and you've heard her preach from before. And he reframes the prophet Isaiah, giving us a sense of what it might look like if we were fully human. He says, what if instead of him in this prophecy, you read the words you? You and all of us in the community of faith. Notice God's power in us, even against great forces of evil, even throughout all creation. Meditate on this. Make this your Christmas wish, that this may be true for you. He writes, you are the shoots from the root of God, and you shall sprout and blossom. The Spirit of the Blessed One shall rest on you, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of mindfulness and reverence for God. Your delight shall be in obedience of the Holy One. You will not judge by appearances or make decisions according to hearsay, but act with respect toward the poor and choose for the well-being of the powerless, and you will blow away all oppression. Justice shall be the belt around your waist and faithfulness the coat around your shoulders. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion together, and a little child shall lead them. No one will harm or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Beloved as the waters cover the sea. My friends, you are called to repent, to turn your life around, away from words and deeds that deny your inmost humanity and the humanity of others, and to reclaim whom God called you to be. Amen.